Good afternoon. This is a Board of License Commissioners meeting being held on Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. The time is 3 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Avenue, the Carmelia Vincent Conference Room. Present before you are the commissioners, myself, Gerardi Mahoney, and Commissioner Branville Bard. Commission Chair Nicole Marotti Ferrer is participating by remote participation.
Why is that?
Stand by. The city manager has authorized the use of remote participation at meetings of the city's public bodies and transmitted to the License Commission on January 30th, 2019. The open meeting law regulations issued by the Attorney General on November 11, 2001, 940 CMR 29.10 to be used as guidelines for the city's use of remote participation. Anyone with a cell phone, please put it on vibrate or silent. No one can be standing blocking the doorway or in the doorway. You either must be inside the meeting room or outside. There will be no talking out of order during any of the hearing. If you are not participating in a hearing, please take conversation outside and keep in mind that sound travels into the room, so please keep your conversations as low volume as possible. Any attorneys that are present, please fill out the notice of appearance form so we can send the decision to you. For any witness or member of the public that may want a copy of any decision, please fill out the notice of appearance. The meeting is being audio recorded by the board and is also being privately audio and video recorded by members of the public. Item number six on the agenda, Chowdhury DBA University Market, has been taken off the agenda in accordance with the board's vote of 116-19. Meeting number 10 on the agenda, Club Desportivo Felonis, disciplinary hearing has been rescheduled to February 27th, 2019. A quorum for this meeting is present. The chairperson, Nicole Marotti Ferrer, has prior to the meeting notified us of her desire to participate remotely in the meeting and has identified a reason for that and the facts supporting her request.
Which is?
I think the request is a personal matter that it does not require the divulging to the members, to the public present here today. Chairperson Nicole Marotti Ferrer, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, we can, loud and clear.
Thank you.
All votes taken today at this meeting will be by a roll call vote. Item number one, disciplinary. Yardworks Landscaping for alleged violations of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16 on December 13, 2018 at 341 Harvard Street. To wit, 8.160.81.1, subsection 1, subsection B, and 8.16.081.2, subsection C, operating without a permit. 8.16.081.2, subsection E, operating a leaf blower above the allowable DBA level. And 8.16.081.2, subsection F, more than one leaf blower being used within 10,000 square feet of another. Yardworks Landscaping?
Second call.
Item two, disciplinary. Lesley University, holder of a leaf blower permit, number 10676, for alleged violations of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16 on December 3, 2018, starting at 8 a.m. To wit, 8.16.081.2, subsection E, operating a leaf blower above the allowable DBA level. 8.16.081.2, subsection F, more than one leaf blower being used within 10,000 square feet of one another. And 8.16.081.2, subsection E, use of a little winder push behind leaf blower. Lesley University.
Thank you, sir.
For the record, would you please state and spell your name?
My name is Andy Faulkner, A-N-D-Y-F-A-U-L-K-N-E-R.
Okay.
Andrea Boyer, Cambridge License Commission Chief Investigator, B-O-Y-E-R.
He needs to speak up, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry, Andy Faulkner.
Sorry about that, sir. Thank you. Thank you. So the violation was a complainant resident, Jo Sollett, who is actually in the audience today. She's alleging that leaf blowers were used by three employees of Lesley University working in close proximity, usage within a 10,000 square foot of one another, and using a little wonder push behind leaf blower, which is not permitted, and it's in viewpoint is actually above the allowable level of 65 dBA per the manufacturer. There was a picture that was given to the board members.
Sorry, traffic was crazy. Excuse me.
Can you please?
For the record, state and spell your name, please.
My name is Daniel Resendes, D-A-N-I-E-L-R-E-Z-E-N-D-E-S. I'm a representative of Greenscape Land Design Incorporated. We are the landscape provider for Lesley University.
Thank you.
So as I was saying, there has been a complainant, Ms. Jo Sollett, who is alleging that the usage of three leaf blowers in close proximity of one another, less than 10,000 square feet area. They were using a little wonder push behind leaf blower, which is not permitted and not in their viewpoint application or on their permit.
Excuse me. Individuals are stating that they can't hear us, so if we can speak up.
There's also some concern it's not louder that they won't hear it through the speaker.
They'll hear it on the microphones, we'll pick it up. Continue.
The previous violations, there was a recent one, a hearing was held on September 10th in 2018, alleging usage during a prohibited time. Board found no violation, but a letter of warning was sent to the subcontractor working at Lesley University.
Same subcontract?
I do not know at that time.
Correct. Same subcontractor.
But I believe at that time it was found that it was another company. I remember correctly
on that one. In 2018?
Yes. It was non-Greenscape.
Well, I'm sorry, yes, I apologize. That was MS Painting. That
but the violation was not Greenscape.
It was not a Greenscape contract. Violation nope. At that point.
I'm sorry, Chief Ward.
Okay. That said, the complainant is actually here to have information as well.
Would the complainant like to come forward and speak?
Go ahead, yes, please.
For the record, please state and spell your name.
J-O, first name, second name, S-O-L-E-T.
Thank you very much.
No, not today. Okay. So I was awakened at 8 a.m. I have the date as December 13th, not December 3rd. Could that have been an error on your part? I have here my email that I reported.
It's possible.
To the License Commission, printed it out, so I have the 13th, not
okay.
The 3rd.
Okay.
In my pajamas at 8 a.m., I walked across the street to the Lesley campus with my decibel meter app. I do acoustics research. I measured the volume of the vacuum truck at 90 plus decibels. Along with that, there were three blowers in close proximity, including a non-legal model. There were three workers wearing no protection in this environment. I was, frankly, dumbfounded. This is a campus, also where students are sleeping. All sorts of pieces of leaf and detritus were blowing into the air. The men were completely unprotected. I called, I asked them to call for security. A member of the Lesley security team did come. A young man, I asked him if he thought this was an acceptable way to treat people on their campus, not just the neighbors, but these workers who were clearly at risk with a noise level this high. And he just looked down at the ground. My sense was that he did not approve of this behavior from the university. I don't know what their town gown report is going to say, but they talk about sustainable practices. They want to be, they say, good members of the community. I don't see how that fits with this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Sir?
on the said date that I got a phone call that morning stating that Greenscapes were on the campus. Immediately, I called the supervisor and told him to shut down the machines. At that point, I guess a member of security had gone and asked them to shut down, in which they did. Greenscapes are a subcontractor. We do not do that landscaping there. So none of the equipment was Lesley University's equipment.
Mm-hmm.
In the area where they were working at that particular point on St. John's Road will no longer be under our care. So we will be removed further from the residents on that side. Being a Saturday, I was not there. I asked the reason why they were there on a Saturday.
Number, at 8 a.m.
Number one.
You said it was shortly after 8, no?
As their normal day of service there was on a Friday, every Friday. Due to the weather conditions, they said that they had to come on a Saturday because they could not do it on the Friday or the week before that. So that's the reason why they were there. I asked them, I said, do not fire up the machines again and do everything by hand as best you can. And which I believe they did.
Okay. Mr. Resendez?
Thank you. So the day I did get a call from Andy, just, you know, stating his concerns and the residential concerns, I called the team. Asked them if they were using leaf blowers and such, and that what I got from them was that they were not, because we specifically instructed them to not use them because of prior complaints and the request by Lesley not to. And they were using lawn mowers to, you know, to suck up the leaves, chop them up, and to pick them up off the property. You know, we were... The noise ordinance says we can start blowers not before 8 a.m., I believe, in that town. We were starting machines around that time or after that time. We were in our permitted...
I'm sorry. This was a Saturday.
Okay, so...
So I don't think either the 3rd or the 13th is a Saturday.
Correct.
So our date is probably, you know...
Third was a Monday, and the 13th was a Thursday.
So, but it was a Saturday, Ms. Salt.
I would attest it was a Saturday.
Okay. Probably the 8th then, maybe.
Saturday the 8th.
Okay. So then that means we shouldn't have been starting before 9 then.
Correct.
Okay. Understood. You know, again, I'm not sure exact what date it was. If you say it was the Saturday, then, you know, I'll have to check my time records.
Turns out it was the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll check my time records and make sure. But, you know, again, we're within our permitted time frame to be able to use blowers during the leaf season in the fall.
I don't think so. Was it 8 a.m.? Ghost
Hill. No, I mean as far as, you know, being able to use blowers in the city from
date
up to
12:31. You're talking about date-wise.
Date-wise,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, you know, it was a wet fall. You know, we were up against the gun. We got staring against snow removal coming upon us. We're trying to fulfill our contractual obligations to our clients, just trying to get the job done. As far as, you know, safety concerns, we've not had a lost time injury in 3 years. So we breed safety, we train safety. So I apologize that did not have air protection and PPEs on. But we train. We can't be everywhere at every single moment. We got a call, we addressed it immediately, and here we are. So
okay.
The only question I have is, Ms. Salt, you said you had a decibel app. Is it an app that you download on your phone, or is it a device itself?
I have a separate device, but given I was in my pajamas, I got up and ran over with my phone.
An app when you're talking.
Yeah. And I was wondering, you know, if that was calibrated, what the accuracy of that, you know, that app or, you know, machine is, and when the last time it's been calibrated.
I can promise you, if it read 100, that it was no 65 decibels from 50 feet. And in terms of the equipment, I have photos of your men, and these are not lawnmowers.
That's a backpack blower on the bottom, and that is permitted to use within the time frame that we're using them.
But I would like, sir, to be clear, is that this push style is not allowable in the city of Cambridge.
No,
nope,
it is not.
And it's not on their permit.
It is not, and we're well aware of it. Every one of our trucks are outfitted the same. Were they using it? You know, I asked them, they said no. I only go by what my team members tell me, you know.
And not only were there
Ma'am, we've been,
they
if
were
I
on
can,
top
we've
of
been
each
harassed
other.
By the same person over and over.
They were
blowing on top of each other. When you have a large campus, the reason they allow more than one blower is so that they can be done at a distance. But they're not supposed to be
blowing. Do you have photos of that? The men
I
are trained.
Sir,
video.
Please. Let's not address
no,
each other.
No, I'm sorry.
You, if you have something to say, you can
okay,
say it.
Okay, I apologize.
And I am aware that I am not the only person who complained. I know Virginia Coleman called Leslie, and I believe also a Maria Tartar, whose house is right next to this, also called. So I was not the only witness.
That's fine.
To
you
this.
Can just stick to what you observed, Ms.
Okay.
Holt.
I just know I was not the
that.
Only witness
Thank
to this.
You. Thank you.
Anything further?
Again, I
my
have
apologies
one question.
For any inconvenience.
Ms. Solit, did you observe them use the little push wonder?
Yes.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
Okay. All right, we'll take this matter under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Application, Hersha Cambridge Concessions, LLC, doing business as Holiday Inn Express, 250 Monsignor O'Brien Highway. Application 29342 for a new wine and malt package store license. Brian Martins is proposed manager of record of a premise described as hotel marketplace with kitchen and office for storage, one entrance and one exit, total square footage of 1,500 square feet. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank
you. Good afternoon, Chief. Commissioner Andrew Upton, UPTON. For the applicant with me is Brian Martins, the proposed manager of record. Martens.
Okay. Counselor, please proceed.
Thank you, Chief. Today we're applying for a beer and wine package store license for the Holiday Inn at 250 Monsignor O'Brien Highway. The reason we're applying for this is because Holiday Inn, the international franchisor, does not allow bars in its hotels. So in order to serve the public need through a grab-and-go setup for packaged alcohol, we're applying for the package store license. As you can see from our floor plan, this proposed alcohol service area is about 30 square feet. It's two coolers. Currently they contain soda. We will change these refrigerated units to locking units. And when someone wants to purchase a beer or a small bottle of wine, they'll have to go to the front desk, show ID, pay, and then the desk clerk will be able to unlock the alcohol. Even though this storage and service area is only a few feet from the front desk and is monitored by cameras, just to discourage anyone who may be thinking of not paying or thinking of being underage and trying to grab a beer, we've got it locked and you got to show ID and pay before you can get it. We believe this will be a safe and compliant method of service. Because we will be selling these beers at hotel prices, it will discourage overconsumption.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be outrageously expensive, but a beer will be, you know, $5 or $6 probably. We'll be selling single beers and wines. What happens now is people go to the warehouse liquor store across a busy highway, which not only does that give the business to the city of Somerville, but it allows people to buy a 30-pack of Anheuser-Busch Natural Light for about $19. So we think this, consumption-wise, this is a good approach. Other hotels on the highway have on-premises licenses and are open late. As a grab-and-go package license, we don't think we would have the same last call issues because, by statute, we would have to close at 11. So no one can come back at midnight from a night out of town and get more drinks. We believe this is a good use of this license to serve the public, and it would have a low, low impact on the community and the neighborhood. As you know, we look at the character and fitness of the applicant. Brian has almost two decades of experience in the hotel management industry with the sale and service of alcohol and the supervision of people selling and serving alcohol. He's tips trained, and the entire front desk staff will be tips trained as well. The ABC says that experienced, respected, legally compliant licensees should be given extra consideration for character and fitness when they've operated successfully in the past. And this same ownership company runs the Freepoint Hotel in the Alewife area. And they've had a great record and been a good asset to the community. For your information, they also run the Envoy Hotel in Boston and the Boxer Hotel in Boston, both of which are large, successful, and have good track records of compliance and cooperation with the authorities. As far as the public need goes, there's no kitchen at this hotel. People bring in food for dinner, and they want to have a glass of beer or a glass of wine with their meal. Customers request this almost every day. Holiday Inn and other limited service hotels of this type, Holiday Inn Express, Holiday Inn, Residence Inn, Fairfield Inn, all these sort of smaller service hotels you see, always have grab-and-go beer and wine when they can get it. It's a common hotel practice. It serves the guest, and it's an amenity. The guests are in favor. We have a petition from the guests that we will turn in for the record, who have signed up at the front desk saying that they want this. More importantly, the community and the neighbors are in favor. There's not too many local residents in that area except for behind, but we have a package which has some letters from the neighbors. We also have letters from numerous local businesses, including EF Education, the Hulk Business School, Citizens Bank, as well as some local restaurants who deliver food to the hotel. We're happy we've gotten the support of the East Cambridge Business Association, and there's a letter from them as well. They represent a large number of businesses in the area. We believe these supporters represent actually several thousand employees in the hotel's neighborhood, and they're in full support. These are also the businesses that generate guests, visitors, international clients that come to see them and stay at the hotel. Finally, Brian can tell you he has spoken to the community police officer in the area, who apparently lives directly behind the
hotel. Sergeant DeSimone lives, he's our neighbor. He lives right behind the hotel on Winter Street, and he's indicated that that we have his support as well.
So that's the overview of our concept, and we're glad to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions?
I don't have any.
Is there anybody that wishes to be heard in this petition? Would you please state and spell your name for the record, please?
My name is Andrew Connors, AndrewConnors, and I currently work at the Holiday Inn Express. I'm the current sales coordinator over there. Past 3 years, I worked at the front desk, so I was right there on the front line. Almost every day, someone was coming in, where can I get a bottle of beer, a bottle of wine, and can I get in the hotel, because they're so used to that at other places. But unfortunately, we don't have that at our property, so I'd be like, we have to go across the street, over to the liquor store right across the street, and I'm like, just can't do inside the hotel. So it was almost every single day I was getting requests for purchasing beer, wine, and also since I do coordinate with a lot of groups, a lot of the groups do ask if we do have on-premise beer and wine because of the need for their guests, and unfortunately it's always a no, so there's always a need for it from them.
How many guest rooms at the hotel?
112.
112?
112, yes.
Thank you. Anybody else in favor of this petition? Anybody opposed to this petition? Okay, this matter will be taken under advisement. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Items 4 and 5 will be taken together. Item 5, Application Coffee Shop LLC, doing businesses Upper West, has filed an application for a new wine, malt, and cordials package store license to be exercised at 1 Cedar Street B. Kimberly Courtney is proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 96 square feet, located in the basement level with storage closet. Item number 4, Application Coffee Shop LLC, doing businesses Upper West, 1 Cedar Street B, holder of an all-alcohol general on-premise license number 11587,
Common Victual Entertainment License number 13296 has applied for an alteration of premise for the removal of a closet of approximately 96 square feet. The new premise description would be basement level of 1 Cedar Street, approximately 1,044 square feet with two rooms. For the record, please state and spell your name.
Kim Courtney, C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y.
Xavier Dietrich, X-A-V-I-E-R-D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H.
Okay.
We have some of the forms requested here. This is the butter affidavit with the this one. There we go. And green cards. And Nicole asked for another copy of my passport and business certificate. These are in the file, as is the lease.
Thank you. Okay, could you tell us about the public need for this application?
Yeah, so we have 174 letters of support.
Well, no, those are the petition.
Well, these are 174 names on the petition. 138 letters of support. Yeah. 174 names on the petition.
I can provide you.
So the I'd like to read into the record some of the letters of support.
Before you do that, you want me to just do a quick intro?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
You asked for public needs, so I was just going to handle that question directly.
Should I just introduce the project a little bit before
Yes. Speak a little bit about the project.
Okay. So we are a well-established business called Upper West in North Cambridge. We've been open for over 3 years, over 2 years with the current general on-premise liquor license. We have an extremely good track record, lots of very incredible local neighborhood customers, guests. We have experience with liquor licenses. We are responsible licensees, and we're looking to add a specialty food store to our current project. So we're interested in having some handmade food products, some of the guest favorites that people request that they've had at our space, as well as some hard-to-find old world wines, some craft local beers, and Amari. There's a question of whether the cordials aspect can be included, and you know whether it's included or not, that's fine by us, but we do hope to have cordials if it is possible. And we do have overwhelming public support, as Xavier has noted. And he'll read some of that for you. And I think, you know, our customers are looking, they're seeking something different from other options that may be available to them in Cambridge. There's nothing like what we're trying to do available to them. And I think that they're very excited about it, as are we.
Okay. I have a question about the floor plan which you submitted, which indicates an 8x12-foot storage area. It's indicated on here, handwritten, removed from premises. I'm assuming that the storage area will, the structure will remain, but it will no longer be a storage area. Is that what you're...
So that's the proposed location of the package store.
So the package store will be in this 96 square foot location?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're just making sure that it's not on the existing license so that it can, the package store license can be placed in that area. It was unclear if it was included or not. So we're just proceeding, assuming it's included, so we can remove it
and then proceed to... So the application to remove it is contingent upon the granting of the application for a package store.
Okay. All right. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I would just like to note, with the chair being, you know, I understand on speaker present, through speakerphone, I understand the city manager has approved this and that the open meeting law does allow for it. Under these circumstances, we do object to her participating in a vote today, as she is not able to view the documents that are discussed at the hearing.
I have a couple of questions. Ms. Courtney, you just mentioned that you're going to have a specialty food store handmade products. You're going to include these in the 96 square feet?
Yes, in the space on the floor plan.
Okay. And what percentage of the space will be dedicated to these food items?
Of the physical space?
Yes.
I don't know.
Where will you store the quote-unquote extra alcohol for the package store?
It will be stored in that room. There won't be any extra storage. That's the entire premises.
Where would the people that are coming to the package store come in and out of it?
There's a door with a, there's a door to this, to the space.
No, I guess my question is, how would they access the package store? Is it your intent for them to come through the Upper West restaurant, through the kitchen, and into the space where the proposed package store would be?
No, they don't go through the kitchen. They go through the, it's a common area of the existing space.
But in through Upper West, and then I guess that little space is the space where people can take a left and go to the bathrooms.
Right.
Okay. And they would go in through that door and then out through that door as well.
Right.
And you are proposing for both of these to be called Upper West, the restaurant and the package store?
Yes.
Where would the point of sale for the package store be?
We would have a separate POS for each.
They would, but would the POS be within the 96 square feet?
Yes. They're not wired, so these are not wired devices, but yes, it would be inside the room.
Like a tablet?
Yeah, yeah, it's like a tablet.
Anything further?
Madam Chair, you any more questions?
No, I don't think I have any other questions.
I would like to speak to the
Please do.
To the public need question that was posed earlier. So I have a few letters that I'd like to read into the record. John Robinson writes, I can think of few things more delightful than the addition Kim and Xavier would like to make to their terrific establishment. I really hope you allow them to move forward. Carol Hirsch writes, Upper West has been a great addition to our neighborhood. They are honest, inventive, and fun. They respect the neighborhood, and we respect them. All good. Lauren Siegel, Kim and Xavier are responsible, passionate, and dedicated business owners, and I think this will be a great step for them. The offerings will cater fittingly to the surrounding neighborhood residents and will doubtlessly be a well-frequented and beloved addition to the community. Tom Caldwell, I highly support Upper West's effort to obtain a package store license. We are a frequent visitor to their current business and have always found them to be highly ethical and have run a very successful business. The change in business will be highly anticipated and a perfect addition welcomed by all to the neighborhood. Mary Ferraro, Upper West has been a welcome addition to our neighborhood. I believe
that owners, managers Kim Courtney and Xavier Dietrich are responsible individuals and fully support their plan to sell select food products as well as hard-to-find beer and wines from their space. I hope you will approve their request for a license to do so. Susan Kalman, I support their application. They are very responsible, and this area could use the quality selection I am sure they will offer. Richard Najarian, Kim Courtney and Xavier Dietrich have an outstanding reputation for managing a small business and giving back to the neighborhood. Expanding their offerings to include hard-to-find specialty foods and a package store license would benefit the Cambridge community.
Although you say you have 174 signatures and 138 letters?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this petition?
I do. My name is Emily Taylor. I've been an employee of Upper West for 2 years. I also live in the neighborhood, and there's really nothing that would serve this need. We have a lot of young professionals in our neighborhood who like to entertain. This would be an opportunity for them to pick something up on the way home from work and stay around and have a drink with us and just give us a chance to get to know our neighbors even better than we already do. And I personally would love a little shop like this in our neighborhood.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak in favor of this petition?
I would speak in favor. It sounds like what Clover does in Central Square.
Please,
for the record. Oxford Street. I would speak in favor. It sounds like what Clover does in Central Square, just adapted for the gourmet idiom.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Is there anybody that wishes to speak in opposition to this petition? Please,
come forward,
state and spell your name for the record, please, sir.
My name is Craig Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an officer at the United American Veterans. We are the lessor to these folks.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea really what they're doing, and we've asked to have a meeting, and they did not allow us to have that meeting to see what they were doing. If it wasn't for this commission's policy to let the landlord know, we would not even know that there was even a meeting here. So we appreciate the commission for this opportunity to speak and find out what our lessors are doing. So we're not necessarily against what they're doing. We just need to see it. Their space that they're talking about has plumbing and mechanicals in there, that we just need to see what they're trying to do and how it interacts with that space. I haven't really even seen the plan. I haven't seen anything presented. We are actually in a butter. We haven't gotten any. You know, we're in the same building. Nobody's ever come to us to see if we approve or disapprove of it. There's wiring that's going to be needing, new refrigeration that's going to be needed. Perhaps the wiring that we have is not good enough for it. There might be other insurance issues that need to be attended to. I'm not even sure, because we don't really know what they're doing, other than what we've heard here. So we are against this until we can have some sort of a meeting with them. We did send them a certified letter. Once I got notified that you folks were having this meeting, we sent them a certified letter requesting a meeting with them, and there was no meeting.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that wishes to speak in opposition to this petition?
Okay.
We will take this matter under advisement.
Oh, can I
did
respond?
You have some? Okay.
No, please. I'm going to respond to that, of course. So our landlord has a very bad track record being landlords. I'm not going to go into the history, but anyone sitting in this room would be astounded and offended by the behavior that this entity engages in, and they're supposed to be a veterans club. So I'm not going to say more. There's reasons why we did not approach them. Our lease fully allows for us to engage in any legal activity in our premises. They are not entitled to us asking them for permission. They are not a legal abutter. They are not entitled to notice. I'm kind of surprised that the License Commission contacted them to inform them about this. I'm not sure why that practice was engaged in. Just to respond to his comments, which I think don't even require a response, but there is no plumbing or mechanicals in that room. And there is no adjustments or changes that are being made. So this is just a very simple project. And their opposition is frankly irrelevant. We have plenty of public support, and our lease allows us to engage in this project. So that's it.
Okay. We'll take this matter under advisement.
I'm sorry, I would like to request a vote today because we have We will not
be taking a vote today. The matter is under advisement.
We're going to be beyond the timeline that's legally allowed for you to take a vote. So
Ms. Courtney, the matter is under advisement.
Okay, I'm putting on the record my objection so that I request a vote today, and I can proceed to the ABCC if
so
you don't
noted.
Want to vote.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Item 7, application, Merit Hospitality LLC, doing business as Le Meridian, 20 Sydney Street, holder of an all-alcohol in-holder license. Number 10897, application number 29165 for change of manager to Muhammad Shahram Khan.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon,
my name
sir.
Is Muhammad Shahram Khan, Muhammad Shahram Khan.
You said first name Ahmed, or Muhammad. Did you say Muhammad? Okay, I'm sorry. Apologize.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on at Le Meridian?
So, previous GM has been promoted, and he's now overseeing actually a regional role. So he was deeply involved recently. Now he's going to be in a different region, and I've been overseeing now the operation, of course. So that's and it's 8,000 square feet of meeting space. We have, of course, the bar. And a restaurant, and so I will be overseeing that, and I have full education in hotel management, studied hotel management, food and beverage management, so fully certified in all of the areas as well.
So you have experience operating, managing an
yes.
alcohol serving establishment in the Commonwealth?
22 years.
Okay. TIP certified or 21 proof?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Is there anybody that wishes to speak in opposition to this petition? Okay. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. This matter will be taken under advisement.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you for your time.
Agenda item 8, application, Curio Coffee, LLC, 441 Cambridge Street, application number 29675 to add new common victual wine and malt beverage license, proposed hours of 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. all days with seating for 20 and occupancy for 30. Justin Pronovost, as proposed manager of record of a premise described as 500 square feet on one floor and one room with a restroom, one entrance and two exits.
Good afternoon.
For the record, please spell and state your name.
I'm Justin Pronovost, J-U-S-T-I-N, and Pronovost is P-R-O-N-O-V-O-S-T. This is my wife.
Rachel Pronovost, R-A-C-H-E-L, P-R-O-N-O-V-O-S-T.
Okay.
And we own and operate Curio Coffee, 441 Cambridge Street in East Cambridge. We have 15 seats. We've been in business since December of 2015. And
excuse me one second.
Sure.
Sir, you either have to come in the meeting room or step outside. You can't block the doorway.
Oh,
you're still blocking the doorway. Thank you. Continue.
we've become a fixture to our neighborhood, and we've received local and national recognition for our coffee and waffles that we serve. But most importantly to us, we're a gathering place for the people that live and work in the neighborhood, and we've come to know many of our everyday regulars and become close with them. Our business, Curio Coffee LLC, Rachel and I share ownership 50-50. We're here to request an additional 5 seats to 20 seats and a new common victory license with the wine and malt beverages at our current location. I would act as the manager of record. We have a knowledge and a passion for wine, and we'd like to expand our business hours to include wine service in the evening, the afternoon and the evening. excuse me. There's been a long demand for us to expand our business hours, our seating capacity, and our menu offerings from our customers. We will also use this opportunity to expand our food menu in the afternoon to include savory items in addition to the waffles and food we serve. The wine service would be primarily by the glass, be organic and natural, something that's not really well represented in our neighborhood. This would be a different kind of service. We have a quiet, intimate atmosphere, and it'll be a gathering place for friends, family, co-workers in our neighborhood. We've had a lot of interest from people in our neighborhood and you know, the business community that we are, you know, working with, and we think it's a welcome alternative to the kind of busy, crowded bars that are in our neighborhood.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
I don't.
I have a question. Are you one of the support letters? I think it was one of the counselors. I know we got letters of support from the East Cambridge Business Association, Counselor Toomey and Counselor Siddiqui. Are you also expanding from your current menu, or are you keeping it as is, the concept as is?
So we will expand the current menu. We are doing food and coffee till 2 on weekdays and 3 on the weekends. So during those extended hours, the food menu will expand as well to cater to the fact that we'll be open for dinner time. So we'll add some savory options to our menu as well, some things that we're not currently doing.
Do you have a new menu ready already?
I don't have it. I don't have the menu printed out, no.
Do you have experience with the sale and service of alcohol?
I have experience with the sale of alcohol. I've worked in a wine shop in the past. The plan would for everybody to be tips and 21 proof certified before the service started. Everyone on staff that would be working during those hours and serving wine or beer.
Okay. How many employees do you currently have?
5.
And normally, how many working at the time?
2 to 3. I'm there 5 days and about 50 hours a week, okay. And that would continue. I'd actually be there more to supervise, okay, you know, the rollout.
So there are 5 additional seats going in somewhere?
Yeah, so we have 15 seats now, 8 of which are at 2-person tables, and then there are 7 stools at a bar and a front window. So the plan would be to add larger tables in place of the small 2-person tables and add a few more chairs around to get those extra, probably 4 or 5 seats, most likely 4.
Here?
Yes. Yeah.
And for the record, as Chair Marati Ferrer stated, there are letters of endorsement from Councilor Toomey and I believe Councilor Siddiqui, as well as the East Cambridge Business Association, in support of this petition. Is there anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Sir, would you please come forward, state and spell your name?
This guy right here?
Yep, that's fine.
Sure. My name's Andrew Olden. Actually a resident of East Cambridge and on the docket for later today. I didn't know these folks were here, but love the spot, and I think just want to echo everything they said about it being great for the neighborhood and the coffee and service and Belgian waffles have a great following, and I think having wine and beer would just make it that much more interesting and be great for the you know, a block that hasn't really had too much interesting things on it for years, so I just definitely support it.
Okay, thank you very much. You. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Is there anybody that wishes to speak in opposition to this petition? I see you have, do you have a butter notices?
I do, I have the butter notices and the return receipts, okay, as well as the notarized affidavit, as well as the returns.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we'll take this matter under advisement. Thank you very much. Agenda item 9, renewal. Dock Ride Media LLC, doing business as Thalia Theater, 288A Green Street, holder of a common victual all alcohol license number 11601.
to consider the rejection of the renewal application, cancellation of the license for non-use, and or revocation of the grant of the license for failure to complete the process and put the license to use, in accordance with Mass General Law, Chapter 138, Sections 15A, 16A, 16B, 23, and 77. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
For the record, would you please state and spell your name?
Excuse me, if you're going to have a conversation, could you take it out in the hallway, please? Thank you.
Alex Newman, A-L-E-X-N-E-W-M-A-N.
Okay. And could you tell me what's, speak a little bit about
what's going
the situation?
On? Sure. Yeah. For the past 19 months, I have been trying to open a small theater on Green Street.
Mm-hmm.
When I first rented the premises, I was misinformed about the status of the space. Since that time, we have worked continuously with the inspectional services to try and figure out what needs to be done, if it can be done, to bring the space in line. As we were going forward with the business, we applied for the licenses and they were granted, conditional to us getting the certificate of occupancy, mm-hmm. which we are still in the process of trying to do. I met with someone from inspectional services this morning. I have another meeting with someone from inspectional services next Monday.
Okay.
Mr. Newman?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Have you gotten any permits to build in the space yet?
That's what we're trying to do. We for the last 9 months, we've had a building application, a building permit application in, but several of the different inspectors, the plumbing inspector, sewage and water, disabilities, I mean, each one has had something to say, so we've been submitting revised plans. We've gone through several contractors, two architects, one attorney.
Okay, and you're not hosting any type of events at this location,
That is correct.
And you've taken down what was on the website in terms of events that were occurring, correct?
That is correct. There was an error. At one point, there had been some stuff posted on the website, which was in perpetuity, sort of an every Wednesday sort of thing. Apparently, when we deleted them, we only deleted the historic ones and didn't realize that it had been running forward until it was pointed out a couple of weeks ago. When it was pointed out, we just deleted them.
When you stated that you leased the space,
I do.
There were issues. You were, I think you characterized it as you were misled or misinformed by some. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Certainly. Prior to my taking the space over many years ago, it had been a VFW hall. So it had had an entertainment license, a liquor license, a vitrular's license. It was a place of public gathering.
Mm-hmm.
The VFW hall, my understanding is, stopped operating there about 10 years ago. Since that time, there have been three or four other lessors prior to me, none of whom have been able to open there for reasons unknown to me. I didn't have anything to do with them, but I was told that because the VFW hall had been in there, that all of it, that we didn't need a change of use, we didn't need, you know, that we basically everything was in place, and it wasn't.
Sir, Andre Boyer, chief investigator for the city of Cambridge. I was actually working on this case last year when we had spoken, Alex mm-hmm. and I, about not having any more events. Tyler Bubinick actually went to the location mm-hmm. last week, and he has some information as well, please.
Yeah, Tyler Bubinick, Cambridge License Commission licensing investigator. We already mentioned you had some advertisements up for events on your website's calendar. It was
yep.
the Beauties rehearsal,
right?
And that was every Wednesday. So I went on Wednesday, January 16th, and I did witness four or five people come in around the start time, which was 7 p.m., stayed there for about 20 minutes. So people did come in around the advertised start time of this beauties rehearsal.
Right. I am trying to maintain the space. Mm-hmm. I have friends who come in and help me sweep, clean up, and that sort of thing. Hang out, but there are no paid activities, there are no rehearsals, there might be, as Tyler said, four or five people in the space at once, and I was told by the building inspector that we could have up to 19 people in the space without violating any laws.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Newman.
Yes, ma'am.
What you just mentioned, do you have that in writing? Because I know that the last information we have from Inspectional Services on this space was a cease and desist letter that the commissioner sent you in 2018, in March of 2018, saying that you had no occupancy permit and could not have people inside the premises.
No, it was a conversation that I had with one of the inspectors. It didn't really, to me, it didn't make a difference because I wasn't planning on having 15-person events in there anyway. He just provided me with the information as we have one bathroom currently, and with one bathroom we can have up to 19 people in the space, is what he told me.
So just for my edification, Investigator Bubnik, you on that website, an event is announced on Wednesday at a certain time. You show up on Wednesday at a certain time, and you see a handful of people.
About four or five, between 7 and 7:20.
Okay.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak on this matter? Okay. Anything further you'd like to add?
Only that, we're working very hard to try and accommodate all of the requirements of Inspectional Services. And I guess it's a point of favor in the licensing committee that they were able to process our application so quickly and that the building department hasn't been able to process things.
And when did you first lease the space?
Almost 2 years ago.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We'll take this matter under advisement.
Thank you.
Item number 11, application Mavenu LLC doing business as Sakana, 983 Massachusetts Avenue, application number 29942, to add to a common victual wine and malt beverages with cordials and liqueurs license. The proposed hours are 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. all days with seating for 19 and an occupancy of 23. Yeha Huang, I apologize if I mispronounce that, as proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 900 square feet on the first floor with kitchen and dining area separated by counter with storage in the basement. For the record, would you please state and spell your names?
Good afternoon, Commissioner Mendes. My name is Attorney Russell Chin. I'm here representing Mavenu LLC.
Good afternoon. My name is Gu Situ.
Good afternoon. My name is Yuen Hua Hua.
Okay. Counselor, please proceed.
Yes, so I'm here representing Mavenu LLC. They do business at Sakana Restaurant. It's a small sushi restaurant at 983 Massachusetts Avenue. It's at the corner of Dana Street and Mass Avenue, seating approximately 19. They're here before the commission seeking approval of beer, wine, and cordial license. Mr. Huang, who's my far left, is the manager of the restaurant and of the LLC. He has obtained his certification, and Mr. Situ, next to me, would be the supervising manager, and he also has his certification. Both of them have many years of experience in the restaurant business, we have some support from our current customers. We've only been open for 3 months,
okay.
But it's been successful.
Do you have anything you'd like to submit?
I would. Let me approach. I have one list here of 41 names
okay.
Of individuals who
Thank you, sir.
people who have voiced their support.
Any questions? Madam Chair, do you have any questions?
Counselor, when you said that both of them have certification, do you mean their TIPS certification or 21 proof certification?
That's correct.
Okay.
So there is a note about a possible missing quarry form. Has all the paperwork been submitted?
I have two quarry forms here with me that have been signed by both Mr. Guang and Mr. Sito, as well as I brought a check for the filing of those.
Very good. Okay. Is there anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody that wishes to speak in opposition to this petition? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we will take this matter. Yes, sir.
Yes, for the record, with respect to opposition, I had a conversation with a gentleman outside the office. He was not opposed. He was not in favor. However, he did have some comments to us about a dumpster in the back. And I promised him, because he had to leave, that I would let you know.
Sure.
I certainly address the issue. But his name for the record is Tim O'Donnell. He's a trustee at 1-3 Dana Street.
Okay.
He provided me with his phone number as well. He indicated that about a week ago, on a Sunday, there was some overflow of a dumpster. I've spoken with my clients. They told me that normally the dumpster pickup is on Sunday, because there was so much snow, the dumpster company decided not to come. They will look into that, make sure that there is adequate dumpster protection for the refuse, and increase the pickup time or increase the size of the dumpster, whatever appears to be necessary. So we will address that issue.
Okay.
But it was due to a delay with the company.
That's correct.
With the company.
Okay. I also have an affidavit regarding my notice, as well as receipt cards.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And thank you for bringing the dumpster matter to our attention.
Certainly.
Okay, so we will take this matter under advisement. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Have a wonderful day.
Good son.
Item 12, application, Galena, LLC, doing business at Shybird, 393rd Street, application 29736 for a new common victual all alcohol license. The proposed hours are 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. Sunday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. Friday and Saturday, with seating for 89 inside, an indoor occupancy of 140, a patio on private property with seating for 22 and an occupancy of 30. Andrew Holden is proposed manager of record of a premise described as a restaurant consisting of approximately 2,100 square feet with dining room, kitchen, and bar, one entrance, one exit, additional seating located in the adjacent lobby and on patio. And also included in the application is a request for allowance of two televisions. Good afternoon. For the record, please state and spell your names.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Chief Mahoney, and Commissioner Bard. The James Rafferty appearing on behalf of the applicant. I have offices at 6907 Massachusetts Avenue in Cambridge. Seated to my immediate right is the proposed manager and principal. I want to just get the spelling of your
Andrew, A-N-D-R-E-W, Holden, H-O-L-D-E-N.
And Eli Feldman, E-L-I-F-E-L-D-M-A-N. Okay.
So this is an application that seeks the issuance of an original license at a location at the corner of 3rd and Cambridge Street, and what, 1 Broadway, originally built and known as the Badger Building.
Mm-hmm.
The premises is located on the ground floor. We'll have an entrance on 3rd Street, but its principal's facade will be on Main Street, on Broadway. There's public, there is some patio seating on private property because a portion of the space before you get to the public sidewalk is controlled by the landlord, the owner of the building. The application seeks the issuance of an all-alcohol restaurant license. Capacity is proposed at 89 seating. There's, in addition to the seating within the restaurant, there is a small area adjacent to the restaurant in the lobby of the office building that's also proposed to contain some seating. And then from, as I noted, then in addition to that, there is a an area on the private sidewalk on Broadway. The applicant has been working closely with the landlord, MIT, which is eager to have an amenity like this in the building. This building houses the Cambridge Innovation Center, which is a very popular place for startup companies within the Kendall Square area. It has an awful lot of foot traffic. Mr. Feldman went out in the matter of one day, managed to collect 125 signatures from people who are supportive of the application and reflective of the public need. I apologize. We also have, if the commission is interested, copies of the menu for the restaurant. Mr. Holden describes this as an American-style restaurant. So unlike many restaurants in the Cambridge area, when men of a certain age go here, they're not going to have to ask their wife whether they like this, because it's rather descriptive and straightforward in terms of the menu offerings. The proposal involves serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner on the later side. Kitchen was intended to remain open until 11 o'clock. Those hours are, again, in consultation with the landlord, who wants to see an active use on the corner in the ground floor of the building. So the request is that the operator himself has extensive experience in the restaurant industry. He also happens to be a Cambridge resident. He lives about six blocks from this location on
Hurley and Third.
Perhaps less than six then, right? So he can walk to work. He's also been associated and currently serves as the manager at the Branch Line Restaurant in Watertown. Has been part of the restaurant operation in Kenmore Square, the Eastern Standard Restaurant. So you could probably just, Andrew, briefly talk about your background and training in alcohol service and restaurant operations.
Sure, yeah, I've been working in restaurants since high school in the mid-90s. Actually used to take the 71 bus to Harvard Square to work at the old upstairs at the Pudding when it was on Holyoke Street. Worked in restaurants in college down in New Orleans, and eventually graduated from the BU School of Hotel and Restaurant Management. Ran Clio, which was in the Elliott Hotel from 02 to 06, and then have been running Eastern Standard in Kenmore Square from 2006 until present. And that's, of course, you know, 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. On the one-mile marker of the marathon, at least 81 home Red Sox games a year and playoff games with a very sort of large active bar. And then in addition to that, for 3 years have been owner-operator of neighborhood rotisserie and wood-fired grill in my hometown of Watertown, which is going very well. And, you know, just as this sort of really actually feeling like the neighborhood I've lived in for the past 11 years, so I just couldn't be more excited to, you know, be a part of bringing something exciting and really accessible and affordable and approachable to a corner that I think is important for Cambridge, but it will continue to be, you know, even more so over the next few years. And the bridge over to the city's just come out really, really, really well, the Longfellow. And this is just a really exciting project to be right there.
Okay. Sure. Sir, do you want to?
Sure. So again, my name is Eli Feldman. I am the project manager, so I do a lot of the project work for Eastern Standard and Branch Line. Actually, go back to college with Andrew. We both Boston University. I've been in the restaurant industry a similar amount of time. Spent 10 years as the director of operations for Barbara Lynch's restaurant group, which is Number 9 Park, and that group of restaurants. Certainly echo all of Andrew's excitement for this, and we're doing a lot of the project management and construction coordination.
Very good.
As laid out in the application, we've got a significant tenant fit-out being provided by the landlord. Similarly, there's a loan from Cambridge Savings Bank for $850,000, so there's an institutional lender, there's a landlord contribution, then there are a series of investors that are also, whose interests have also been disclosed for the balance of the funds.
Counselor, with regard to the personal funds, I know that some of the statements were missing. I'm not sure if they're in yet, but just a reminder that we need those. If we vote to approve this, we'll need those
yes.
to send to the ABC.
Yes. Well, yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. We're aware of that. We have collected some of them. We did not bring them with us today, but we'll arrange to get them submitted shortly. But I think we may have thought it was a $100,000 threshold, and that's why we're shy on a couple of them. So our understanding now is disclosure at the $50,000 level is required. I shouldn't say disclosure. We've had full disclosure. We just didn't collect statements from accounts under $100,000, but we can quickly gather those in the next day or two.
Anything else, Madam Chair?
No, not from me. Thank you.
Commissioner?
I don't have any questions.
Okay, is there anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody that wishes to speak in opposition to this petition?
For the record, we received a letter in support from Councillor Toomey.
Yes, we did.
So, Madam Chair and Commissioners, the applicants are awaiting, are eager to begin construction. Their construction loan from Cambridge Savings Bank is tied to the approval, and I understand the board is not taking action tonight. Would the board consider taking action at this time so that we could proceed to get our loan closed?
Madam Chair?
For me, I would take this under advisement. We will try to set up a meeting for us to take votes prior to our next meeting. But that would be, if we're doing a roll call vote, that would be my vote right now to take this under advisement at this time.
That would be my vote as well.
Okay, understood. Thank you for your consideration. I understand. So we will be notified of the date of the vote, I assume, the vote hearing?
Yes, yes. Sir, you would.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The matter is taken under advisement.
Oh, you want to
amend? Item 13, application, Dante Alighieri Society of Massachusetts Incorporated, 41 Hampshire Street, holder of an all-alcohol club license number 11626, application number 30005. For a change of officers, directors, and a change of manager to Mariano Zanka. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Councilor Rafferty?
Good afternoon again, Commissioners. James Rafferty on behalf of the applicant to the Dante Alighieri Society and the proposed new manager, Mr. Zanka, seated to my right. I'm sure the Commission is familiar with the institution. It's been here for since the 1980s, would be my guess, in that location. Italian Cultural Society, an active membership, and Mr. Zanka is a full-time employee. He runs the bar. He's there nearly every day. They're open, and he is being brought on as the formal manager. We also have some offices and director changes that we've submitted. We've made the changes in the Secretary of State's office. As you know, in the charitable organizations like this, those offices and directors are treated as though they have beneficial interests, so they're all disclosed here in the filing.
Okay. Madam Chair, any questions?
Nope. The only thing, Mr. Zanka, are you TIFT or 21 proof certified?
Yes, I'm TIFT certified, yes.
Okay. Commissioner, any questions?
No.
Take this matter. Anybody wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody wishes to speak in opposition to this petition? Okay, we'll take the matter under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Item number 14, application, STD Sandwich Limited, doing businesses, Darwin's Limited, 31 Putnam Avenue, application number 29637 for a new common victual license with seating capacity of 24, and proposed hours of operation from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Shifra Rosenberg is proposed manager of record of a premise described as 1,433 square feet cafe space on the ground floor. Customer access to seating area and bathrooms. The kitchen is located in the back room behind the service counter. Dry goods storage is in the basement. All food storage is in the kitchen area, walk-in refrigerator. The main entrance is on the ground level in the middle of the front of the building. There is also an egress at the rear of the building right next to the public restrooms. Background music at conversation level provided by two loudspeakers located behind the service counter. For the record, please state and spell your names.
Shifra Rosenberg, S-H-I-P-H-R-A-H-R-O-S-E-N-D-E-R-G.
Stephen Darwin, S-T-E-V-E-N-D-A-R-W-I-N.
Okay, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Yes, Darwin's Limited is taking over the location of the Pizza Pies Cafe at 31 Putnam Avenue.
Okay. Any alterations to the premises?
None.
Okay. And let's see, so you're going to have seating for 24?
Correct.
And any other capacity, or strictly the seating capacity of 24?
The seating capacity of 24 and staff.
Okay. But I mean, no standing counters, anything
no.
like that. Okay. All right.
Our full intention is to run it the way it's been in operation shift for like that for, what, 10 years now?
Yeah. Okay. I've been managing PC Prize, and I'm going to stay on to
okay.
manage the new Darwin.
All right. Madam Chair, any questions?
And this would be an operation such as the Darwin's one, right? You're not taking over PC Pies and doing a PC Pie concept. You're doing the Darwin's concept, correct?
I'm doing the Darwin's concept. I would certainly love her recipes, but I don't think those are available to us.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Commissioner, any questions? Is there anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody that wishes to speak in opposition to this petition? Hearing none, we will take the matter under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 15, application, the Little Crepe Cafe, LLC, 102 Oxford Street, application number 27146. For a new common victual license with seating capacity of 18 inside and occupancy of 25 and proposed hours of operation from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday, and 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday. Camille Sylvan is proposed manager of record of a premise described as 1,200 square feet on the ground level floor, which will be where customers are served in a basement used for storage only. There will be one handicap accessible bathroom as well as one handicap accessible entrance and exit facing Oxford Street. The kitchen will be an open kitchen behind the counter, cafe bistro style. It's a very simple kitchen suitable for simple food prep with no ventilation required, no heavy cooking, no frying, no stoves. The cafe will operate from early morning to evening. The cafe will play soft music through speakers at below conversation level as its only form of entertainment. For the record, please state and spell your name.
Hello, my name is Camille Sylvain, first name K-A-M-I-L, last name S-Y-L-V-A-I-N. This is my architect.
Adam Glassman.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What are your last name for us?
G-L-A-S-S-M-A-N.
Thank you.
So, by way of background, I'm trying to open up the Little Crepe Cafe, LLC, at 102 Oxford Street, which is going to be a Parisian-style cafe and creperie. We would specialize in serving gourmet coffee, espresso, tea, a small selection of paninis,
mm-hmm.
Sweet and savory crepes, which, if you're familiar, can be made on a small grill.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't require any type of ventilation. There will be no heavy cooking, no frying. And we'll also offer maybe a soup of the day, in addition to, you know, small prepackaged foods like salads and chips and bottled beverages. You see the proposed hours of operation.
Mm-hmm.
I do have the plans here. I'm not sure if you've already seen them.
What do you know? What was in this space previously?
Yes, I have some information about the common victualer's license that was held before as well.
Thanks.
So there were. I have information dating back to when the building was first opened a as far back as the 1900s. It is a residential neighborhood,
right?
But it was always used as retail food. It started as a fruit and vegetable shop. And the last two owners, I have that as well. The last two owners had a breakfast and sandwich establishment.
Okay.
And these are asserted to all give occupancies for the last uses.
It might be helpful to know that the building permit application is being accepted as a continuation of the previous use.
Okay.
Right. So I'm getting grandfathered into the old use, essentially. I don't plan on changing anything. I'm not going to be serving any sort of alcohol or anything of that nature.
Okay.
Kind of just operating within the existing use. The hours would essentially remain the same, except for a small tweak on Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay.
Based on my experience in the neighborhood, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback the days that I've been in there cleaning and organizing and trying to prepare. I get stopped quite often by families, couples, parents, and even spoke to a few teachers at the school across the street. There's an elementary school, and I've received a lot of positive feedback. They're waiting for something to come to the neighborhood. The location itself is a staple in the neighborhood, but it requires a lot of upkeep. So we do plan on doing some serious renovations, still keeping the vintage Cantabrigian style, of course.
Okay.
But we've worked with the Storefront Improvement Program, the Small Business Program in Cambridge. They're very supportive. This process actually started in May.
Okay.
So it's been quite some time, and it's getting close to the point of potentially opening.
Do you have a timeline?
It would take about 2 months.
Okay.
To construct, but we're waiting for the business license at the moment. Not the business license, sorry, the big building permit.
Okay.
But everything's moving forward. The only thing that we have to do, there are two variances required, one for the handicap accessible entrance, which I am making it handicap accessible, and the other one is for one bathroom instead of two bathrooms, which will also be handicap accessible.
All right. Madam Chair, any questions?
Are the crepes thin or thick?
They're 15 inches wide. I'm not sure. I think that you'd have to come and try them out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Sir, please approach. For the record, state and spell your name.
Hi, my name is George, W. George, G-E-O-R-G-E. First name spelled like last name.
Okay.
I'm the. I happen to be the landlord of the premises, and I'd like to echo what Camille said, that there's been a lot of feedback from the people in the neighborhood, and they like something to go in there, something nice, so it could be presentable, and also helpful for the community. And this is an excellent concept that he has, and I believe that it'll get a lot of support from the people in the area. So it's a good location. There's a lot of students. There's a lot of people that live in the area. It's a very good community there.
Mm-hmm.
And as landlord, I like to keep the place nice, you know. I care about the place, and I'd like it to be ongoing.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. If I can add just a little bit of personal background, I was born and raised in Cambridge, so I'm a native Cantabrigian, and I kind of know what the people in the neighborhood would like and what they would dislike.
Okay.
You know, so the slogan is coffee, crepes, and community. So essentially, I'd like to bring everybody together to have a place to eat, sit, work, meet, and, you know, like I said, it'll be opening and closing early, so it'll be a neighborhood spot. Okay. I also have a menu here as well.
Okay.
As well as the notification.
Very good.
The butter notifications. So this is the menu.
Do you have experience in the food and beverage industry, do you?
Mostly entrepreneurship and marketing, but
okay.
I will be hiring staff that has a great experience, and I'll be there every day.
Good.
This is going to be my lifeblood. Do it.
Very good. Anybody else that wishes to speak in favor of this petition? Is there anybody that wishes to speak in opposition to this petition?
Okay, we'll take this matter under advisement. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Best
Thank
of
you.
Luck.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I will unfortunately have to now leave the meeting and will no longer be able to remotely participate, so I apologize and thank you all.
Good day.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The time is 4:25 p.m.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Item number 16, application Jefferson Joseph for a Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Joseph.
For the record, please state and spell your name, sir.
My name is Jefferson Joseph. Jefferson, first name, G-E-F-F-E-R-S-O-N. Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H.
Okay, have a seat.
Thank you.
Have you worked as a Hackney operator in the past?
No.
And what is your reason for wishing to do so, sir?
My plan this year is to work like in a flexible hours, and then I'm here to follow the rules and then get more experience in driving, because I have a plan to take the CDL. Like the CDL is the commercial driver license, so I would like to have more experience driving first.
Okay.
And then just follow my plan.
Okay. Do you have a plan or an agreement in place, somebody you will be driving for?
What? Say it again, please.
Do you have an agreement in place, somebody you will be driving a cab for?
Yes.
And that is with who?
Mr. Gashett, Joseph.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Officer Zito, any?
No issues.
No issues, okay. Commissioner, any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Do you have any questions of us, sir?
No, thank you. I'm good.
Okay. Yes. We'll take this matter under advisement.
Thank you.
You'll be notified by Officer Zito.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 17, application Ismail Shafi for new Cambridge Hackney driver's license. Good afternoon, sir. For the record, please state and spell your name.
My first name is Ismail, last name is Shafi.
Spell it, please.
First name I-S-M-A-I-L, last name S-H-A-F-I.
Okay. And have you worked as a Hackney driver in the past?
No, sir.
Okay. And what is your reason for wishing to do so?
Currently, I'm driving Uber a year and a half now, and Uber getting slow. So.
Really?
Yes. Okay. I have been living in Cambridge almost over 7 years, so I know the city well.
So you've been living here 7 years?
Cambridge, yes. Okay. Yeah, 7 years.
Okay.
So I know the road, so plus I have family support. That's my concern.
Do you have an agreement in place?
No, sir. But in that moment, that situation, I will get the car, because one my roommate is driving as well.
Okay. Officer Zito?
No issues.
No issues, okay. Commissioner?
No questions.
Okay. We will take this matter under advisement. You will be notified by Officer Zito.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Second call.
Yeah. Second call, disciplinary Yardworks Landscaping for alleged violations of Cambridge Municipal Code. And the time is 4:29.
Okay.
Administrative matters?
Before proceeding to administrative matters, I'd like to take a 3-minute break.
Absolutely. We will be in brief recess.
Brief recess.
And we are back on the record at 4:32. Administrative matters. Cambridge Craft DBA, LLC DBA World of Beer, holder of a common victual all alcohol beverage with entertainment license at number 11565 at 100 Cambridge Sides Place, has withdrawn its appeal at the Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission for the indefinite suspension of the license and for the unapproved transfer of beneficial interest, issued in September 2018 and lifted on November 16th, 2018. The board acknowledges. Stephen Muse, on behalf of the City of Cambridge Traffic, Parking, and Transportation Department, has applied for a special noise variance to use a grinding machine and sprayer citywide from March 1, 2019 through December 31st, 2019, weekdays only from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Permission granted. Chris Richard, on behalf of Turner Construction, has applied for special noise variance to install overhead protection in the form of staging on the three sides on the Kendall Square head house at 314 Main Street, January 31 through February 1, 2019, from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. Granted. Christina Bragger, on behalf of Holt International Business School, doing business as Holt Student Lounge, 1 Education Street, holder of educational, common victual, all-alcoholic beverage and entertainment license, has applied to change their opening hour from 5 p.m. to 3 p.m. Permission granted. Bustle Transportation Incorporated has purchased medallion number 47 from Fresh Start Venture Capital Corporation. Board acknowledges. Consideration of the statement of reasons for matters heard on January 16th, 2019. Coffee Shop LLC, DBA Upper West, 1 Cedar Street B, general on-premise all-alcoholic beverage license number 11587, common victual license number 13296, for discipline issued as to count 1, violation for failure to comply with the Massachusetts Comprehensive Fire Code, the matter heard on November 7, 2019. Board approves. Uno Restaurants LLC, all alcoholic beverage license number 11698, linked to 22 JFK Street for rejection of renewal application and in the alternative cancellation for non-use of the license. Board approves. Lanes and Games Incorporated, all alcoholic beverage license number 11675, linked to 195 Concord Avenue for rejection of renewal application and then the alternative cancellation for non-use of the license. Approved. Classic Restaurant Concepts LLC, all alcoholic beverage license number 11545, linked to 8 Holyoke Street for approval of renewal application. Board approves. BBC of Main Street, LLC, all-alcoholic beverage license, number 11610, linked to 610 Main Street for approval of renewal application. Board approves. A.W. Chen Incorporated, all-alcoholic beverage license, number 11595, linked to 907 Main Street for approval of renewal application. Board approves. Shangdong Dumpling House Incorporated, DBA Dumpling House, 950 Massachusetts Avenue, common victual malt and wine beverage and entertainment license number 11511, for being over the license capacity on 11/16/18. Board approves. One-day license application. Luke Cervantes has applied for malt and wine license to be exercised at number 12 Holyoke Street on 2/8/19, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. for an award reception, expected attendance up to 250 people. There must be a limited number of alcohol drinks associated with the admission charge, otherwise thereafter alcohol must be sold.
Exemption granted. And board acknowledges the withdrawal of their application for 130-119. Same applicant. Adele Zhang has applied for malt and wine license with entertainment license to be exercised at Milstein East West, Wasserstein Hall, 1585 Mass Avenue, on 222 to 226 from 7 to 10 for musical performance with performers, entertainers, dancing, live music, amplification system, theatrical exhibition play, moving picture show, and dynamic audio-visual show, live and recorded. Expected attendance, 500 people. Granted. Kristen Wagner, on behalf of the Dance Complex, has applied for a malt and wine license to be exercised at 536 Mass Avenue on 2819 and 2919 from 6 p.m. to 10 for a dance recital. Expected attendance, 180 people. Granted. Jesse Smith has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at MIT North Court, 500 Main Street on 2619 with a rain date of 2719 from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. for an outdoor performance with performers, entertainers, dancing, recorded music, and amplification system. Expected attendance, 200 people. Granted. Inte Moon has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license to be exercised at the MIT Walker Memorial, Moores Hall, 142 Memorial Drive on 2219 from 7:30 to 11:15 for a gala with recorded music and amplification system. Expected attendance, 350 people. Granted. Travis Beanie, on behalf of World Music, has applied for a Hawker Peddler license to be exercised at the Sanders Theater, 45 Quincy Street, from 7 p.m. to 11, to sell CDs and T-shirts. Granted. Bill Manley, on behalf of the Harvard Square Business Association, has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at Brattle Plaza on 2219 from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. for a tasting event with patrons dancing, performers, entertainers dancing, and recorded music. Expected attendance, 700 people. Granted. Zanalia Espinola has applied for an all-alcohol malt and wine with, the exercise at St. Anthony's Parish, 400 Cardinal Medeiros Avenue on 2219 from 6:30 p.m. to 12 midnight for a dinner dance with patrons dancing, performers, entertainers, dancing, recorded music, DJ, live music amplification system, theatrical exhibition, play, moving picture show, floor and light show, and dynamic audio-visual show, live and recorded. Expected attendance, 250 people. This is a 501c3. Otherwise, alcohol must be purchased from an authorized seller. They have to submit proof of their 501c3 status. Christina English has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at the MIT Chapel, 48R Massachusetts Avenue on 3219 from 6:10. For a concert with live music. Expected attendance, 50 people. Granted. Kathleen Ferry, on behalf of the Race Cancer Foundation, has applied for malt and wine with entertainment license to be exercised at 500 Kendall Street on 2319 with a rain date of 2/11/19 from 5 a.m. to 4 p.m. for a road race with patrons dancing, DJ, and live music. Expected attendance, 2,500 people. No alcohol may be served or sold prior to 8 a.m. and there must be a limited number of alcohol drinks associated with the admission charge. Otherwise, thereafter, alcohol must be sold. Granted. Nazili Hagen has applied for a Hawker Peddler license to be exercised at Sanders Theater, 45 Quincy Street on 2/15/19 from 7 to 10 to sell T-shirts, sweatshirts, CDs, mugs, stickers, all with Quiet logos. Granted.
Late items adding after the posting on 12518. Luke Cervantes has applied for a one-day wine and malt license to be exercised at 12 Holyoke Street for the Hasty Pudding Man of the Year on February 9th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Expected attendance 250 people. There must be a limited number of alcohol drinks associated with the admission charge. Otherwise, thereafter, alcohol must be sold. Lauren Schexnader, on behalf of the MIT Musical Theater Guild, has applied for a one-day entertainment license on February 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, and 9, 2019 at 410 Memorial Drive from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on February 2nd and February 7th and 8th, and 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on February 3rd and 9th. Granted. Ariana Paz has applied for a one-day wine and malt license on February 9th from 9 to 11:59 p.m. at the Agassiz Theater for a reception. There must be a limited number of alcoholic drinks associated with the admission charge. Otherwise, thereafter, alcohol must be sold. Granted. Caitlin Mullen has applied for a one-day wine and malt license on February 9, 2019 from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the MIT Media Lab. Expected attendance 130. Granted. Alina Gorin has applied for a one-day entertainment license to be exercised at MIT's building W20-208, the Lobdell Dining Hall, on February 9 from 7 to 11 p.m. for ballroom dance social. Granted. Kyle Clayson, on behalf of Hallamore, has applied for a special noise variance for a crane setup at 250 Binney Street on February 2nd from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Granted. Edward Breed, on behalf of Skanska, USA Civil, has applied for a special noise variance for demobilization of earth-moving equipment for PL6 pickup of a CAT 349 excavator at 38 Bishop Allen Drive, one night only from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. during the period between February 7th and February 13th, 2019. Cannot be done on Sunday. Must provide notice of day of use to the License Commission via email and noise through cambridgema.gov. Granted. And we are finished at 4:46 p.m.